mop, mop.
Ah, oh, God, I'm still dripping with excitement from my fun at the Night of 200 Stars.
Excuse me, Mr. Sinden. Good evening, welcome.
Hello.
What are you looking forward to particularly about tonight? I'm from Radio 1.
Oh, wait, the entire evening. I'm looking forward to it enormously.
Alan Rickman isn't here tonight because he's distributing polystyrene suits to the homeless.
Is he really?
Yeah. He's doing a little routine with some monkeys to cheer them up. Think it's a good thing for him to be doing?
Oh, he's marvellous, yes. Oh, yes.
Yes, I'll give you the full breakdown of the people I bumped into at the Night of 200 Stars. But what a cheesy evening that was. You probably saw it reported vaguely in the papers. There wasn't much to write home about. It was a big kind of C-League Hollywood-style bash. And about 200 people were outside. They were being held back by the police. Flashbulbs go-go popping every time another limo drew up, puking out a little tiny crinkly old star. And everyone going, I knew the face before it fell off. And the star kind of pops out onto the red carpet and looks around with a mixture of kind of wonder and slavery, because as soon as the cameras start going off, they're lost. And they look like a startled animal. It is truly striking. I've never been to one of these things before, where you sort of see Hollywood stars like Anthony Quinn or Douglas Fairbanks Jr. come out. And actually, the women as well, there was some Bond girl there whose name eludes me, and she stood there just kind of grinning. Well, sometimes people would actually spill out of the limousine, and nobody would take a photo. And they looked like somebody had just taken the horizon away or something, you know, somebody had just, a giant had come and whipped the building away from in front of them. They're totally stunned. And they'd whistle through the foyer. No one would stop them. And they'd still have a grin on their face, but it'd be like a grin sort of tainted with horror. I hate it. It's so desperate to see people like that. It's like the first night of Oliver. Don't ask me why I was there, but Oliver, which is on at the London stage at the moment, first night there. Celebs throwing themselves in front of the cameras as they came out. Literally, Richard O'Brien was wearing a dress. No attention-seeking was it that sent him round three times in front of the cameras. He came out of the theatre, nobody stopped him. So he thought, hang on a second. And he went back round through the back and came out again down the central line where the camera was. Again, nobody stopped him. So he went out again through the side door, and for the third time he came round and said, oh, Richard, oh, yes, hello. And they did an interview with him there. It's so... And then the stargazers are there as well. So there were people there to meet Roddy McDowall. You know, someone would come up to you and give you a conversation that they had with Roddy McDowall. And then they suddenly say, oh, look, there he is. Hi, Roddy. Did the flu clear up? And Roddy kind of looks around and goes, yeah, thanks, yeah. And you realise that the conversation you've just been told about built up over about 5 years of these kind of exchanges, each one just two lines. And in 5 years, they've built up a whole paragraph of conversation, which then they can reel out and bore you with. Suddenly, Ginger Rogers flies past in a wheelchair, followed by Petula Clark. People are screaming. I'll give you the clips now, but there was also the weirdest thing of the whole evening was a priest from my school who I saw there without his uniform on. And he sat down with his back to a radiator and poured himself a thermos of coffee and then just gazed up at the stars. And then when I turned around, he'd gone.
In the deserts of Sudan. Help me, help
me, help me. Okay, so here they are from the Night of 200 Stars. And it was an evening for the Great Ormond Street's Children's Hospital, Donald Sinden, Simon McCorkindale, and Petula Clark.
Excuse me, Mr. Sinden. Good evening, welcome.
Hello.
What are you looking forward to particularly about tonight? I'm from Radio 1.
Oh, wait, the entire evening. I'm looking forward to it enormously.
Alan Rickman isn't here tonight because he's distributing polystyrene suits to the homeless.
Is he really?
Yeah. He's doing a little routine with some monkeys to cheer them up. Think it's a good thing for him to be doing?
Oh, he's marvellous, yes. Oh, yes.
Welcome, Simon. Hello. It's a charity event for the Children's Hospital. Any word for them at this time of year?
Absolutely. I mean, this is their time of the year, isn't it, after all, when...
And some of them are very, very sick at the moment.
Well, I mean, you know...
There was an incident today, I think, with a dog and a food disposal unit there at the hospital.
Is that right?
Does that make you feel happy or sad?
It doesn't, you know, it doesn't make me feel happy.
Thanks, enjoy this evening. Sheila, Peter Hamill from Radio 1, congratulations on
this
evening.
Thank you.
Do you have a word about Alan Rickman, who's not attending tonight?
Is he not attending?
He's distributing polystyrene hats to the homeless.
Well, that's good for him, you know. Hey, listen, we all do our thing.
What are you looking forward to most?
Hey, listen, I'm just here and it's wonderful. The whole evening is just smashing.
Any comment on the death of Meatloaf today?
I didn't know.
He exploded this afternoon on stage.
I'm sorry, you've just broken the news to me. I didn't know.
Exploded.
Meatloaf?
We got about half an hour ago.
I adored him. And he was one of the... He's a lovely, lovely man. And I was hoping that we were going to do something.
I sit alone in my four-cornered room staring at candles. Are we on the radio, Dukes? Well, give it to me.
Okay, no more mention of that this evening. More important things to clear away for. Richard Clayderman's next.
Hi, this is Max Clifford. I like pissing on baby mice.
Deal with me. Back then I had a girl who wasn't real with me. And now she's back with her old lady. And now I got it going on.
They can make a Christmas version of this, can they?
Now I'm a goner, she's a loner. Yeah, I'm all a playing tricks.
Yeah, Christmas time and I'm gonna kill your mother.
Hi, this is Max Clifford. I like pissing on baby mice and shoving them right at my ass.
Okay, the first of our three sods of the day today, Richard Clayderman, who has been at the top of the album charts this year with none other than James Last. Our reporter, Clangor McMartin, hunted him down in a hotel room and asked him some pertinent questions.
How do you remember all the tunes?
Well, you know, always I try to find very strong and very, very nice melodies.
Do you think the memory's in your head or your fingers? Or in between?
Well, always...
So, somewhere in between, probably.
Yes, I think so.
And if you did have words in the songs, which ones would you choose?
Atmosphere, ambiance, and...
So just a few words, maybe?
Oui, ambiance.
Ambulance.
Ambiance, yeah. Et puis...
Love.
Yes, yes, of course. Love and...
affection.
Yes, maybe, yes.
How well acquainted are you with things like acid house?
Oui.
And the new fashions of shagaga and alkali tent?
Yes, of course, of course. And I enjoy very much listening to a different style of music.
Does it influence you very much?
Well, it depends, yes. Sometimes, maybe. Mm. But I prefer to listen to singers like Paul McCartney or like Zaminelli or Barbara Streisand. It's more my style.
Have you ever considered playing any other sort of instrument?
Not, you know...
Violin?
No,
trumpet?
No.
Pink oboe?
No, because it's...
Not even for pleasure?
If it is for the pleasure, okay, of course, but if you want to do a career, it's too difficult. You know?
Huge thanks there to our reporter, Clangor McMartin.
Hi, this is Wakefield. I think Naomi Campbell has a gravel Annie disorder.
Two sods of the day still to come then. Max Clifford and Teddy Taylor. Paul Garner's still outside a hotel. He hasn't gone home yet. Despite what happened at the weekend when we recorded something for the Boxing Day show. 1 till 3, daytime on Boxing Day. He nearly died. But it's going to be worse tonight. And Peter Bainham's in, just checking up on which butchers in the country you can actually smell the turkey. And Peter, have you found any yet?
No, nothing. I mean, I've been looking around and I've been ringing, but there's nothing.
Right, yeah, cheer up, though. I mean, it's not the end of the world.
Well, it's bloody Christmas, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's
I know. We all have a kind of a blues about Christmas, but you could just go through
rubbish. I mean, I haven't done a frigging pimp of Christmas shopping, right? And I go down Oxford Street today, there's these idiots walking down with their miserable expressions and their plastic bags, all getting in my way. I mean, it's nothing to do with the Christmas spirit, it's just a waste of everyone's time.
Yeah, the Christmas spirit, the whole point about the Christmas spirit is it's a total myth. The real Christmas spirit is based on a pagan festival, and it's everybody having a good time and going out and buying stuff and giving people gifts.
What use is what you're saying there? I mean, it's a Christian festival now.
The Christian's just a little blimp. It's just a little distraction. It's not actually the truth. There's no evidence for the Christian thing at all. If you look back at the Christian...
That's all A.N. Wilson garbage.
No!
Really can't be bothered.
Okay, you take any Christian image, right? Take a central Christian image from Christian lore, the stable scene, right?
Yeah.
Totally ripped off from pagan imagery. Mm-hmm. In the 3rd century BC, the pagans believed in a huge flood, and from that flood were saved a group of animals that were marooned on an island in a shed, and that is the origin of the stable scene. And then Christianity took it and they replaced some of the farm animals with human beings, so that, for example, the heron in the shed becomes Joseph. Mary was a monkey, There are a whole pile of adders in the corner which the church wrote out because they don't like snakes. And Jesus was a chicken.
A chicken?
Yeah, a chicken. The only reference to anything like the Christ story is in fact about a large chicken which plagued the Roman authorities in Jerusalem because it used to disrupt markets. It was a large, charismatic chicken, and it was in fact strong enough to con a few of the gullible locals into following it. And it was eventually run to earth and then catapulted out of the city, nailed to a flaming cross. That's the closest you get to historical fact.
This is just some stuff you're reading off a piece of paper.
Yeah, I know. And that piece of paper is a photostat of the original Nicene block.
Oh, you've got the Nicene...
No. I got hold of this piece of paper. The Nicene Block, as you know, is held in the Vatican.
Yes.
It's the document which shows how the Church made up its law based on original 3rd century pagan myths.
But it's locked up in the Vatican. How can you...
And I know a priest there who hates the Church, so he sent it to me. Just have a look at it. You see every detail in there.
The angel of the Lord was no more than a shepherd who was plagued by fireflies and threw himself off a cliff.
Yeah, and there are other things in there too. Like, this is the most obvious thing. There are no night bars at all in the archaeological record.
Night bars?
Yeah, you know, when every time it's dark...
Yeah.
A little dark band is laid down in the earth. So if you dig through the earth and through the centuries, you see lots of little dark bands which mark every night. Now, if you dig through the earth there are no dark bands, therefore there were no nights at all. It was permanent daylight at that time.
Right.
So bang goes your myth about silent night.
I would have been... You're saying I can't have silent night?
Yeah, you can't have silent night. Silent night's nothing to do with Christian. In fact, that
come
hymn...
on.
Seriously, that hymn is not a Christian hymn at all.
You can't prove that.
Damn well... Okay, listen to this, right?
There goes a frog. Look at the frog.
Any silent night there?
No, but that's...
Yeah, okay, listen on, right?
Big and strong. Frog.
No silent night there, eh?
What?
These are the original words. Original words of that hymn. All right, you sing it. You'll see. You sing it and you'll see
I'm
for yourself.
Not that.
Sing it. Okay, there's your note.
Love.
Yeah, okay. Not a natter jack, lizard or crab.
Yeah.
It's a frog, it's not a crab.
Uh-huh.
Frog, oh frog, not a crab.
Yeah.
Frog.
You see, it's a German hymn of frog worship.
Goodness.
Keep busting.
Just ahead of Salt of the Day, number 2, Max Clifford.
Hi, this is Wickfield. I think Naomi Campbell has a gravel fanny disorder.
She says there's ants in the carpet. Oh, it's nothing special.
It's like it was constructed by a professor who was saying, I wonder what it would have sounded like if the Beatles had had London accents.
Equation that proves the human fart is shaped like a plantain.
Max Clifford was interviewed about 2 days ago by me, and I was actually having an interview with him, and I thought I'm not gonna try anything funny here because I like this guy. He messes around with the media. The whole thing's a game for him. And so I just kind of idly spinning through the time, and I got to about, you know, sort of 15 minutes into the interview, and I idly popped him the question, how would you do a PR job for Christ? How would you do a PR job on Christ?
Well, what you've got to do is to show this man and establish the vital importance of his message.
But how could you do that?
Well, of course, you can do that. You can do that by showing things. That shouldn't be too difficult at all, particularly if he's able to produce, you know, the kind of miracles that he was meant to have produced all those, you know, years ago.
So you'd have him do a few of those?
Well, of course.
But now, how would you differentiate that from all the people who are trying to make themselves look wonderful people anyway, and have various good tricks up their sleeve too?
Well,
Penn and Teller.
If what you've got is good enough and is strong enough, and with Jesus Christ, it would be.
Would it?
Of course it would, because that's what the world wants and that's what the world needs.
How could you do that, though? I mean, using the media, wouldn't people just say, David Icke?
I've just explained to you that, for example, if this man were to be seen somewhere performing the kind of, you know, amazing miracles that he is capable of.
Well, I mean, the thing is, what could he do? I mean, if, in order to convince a large number of people, he'd have to be, like, in the audience at Wembley Stadium when the Stones are playing. Keith Richards would die halfway through and Jesus would come up on stage, touch him with his finger, and he'd be able to carry on until the end.
Well, no, because then people would think it, because it's rock and roll, you know, he was in a drug-induced state, so he wasn't really dead anyway. You'd have to be a lot cleverer than that. You'd have to do something which involved the Pope. You'd have to do something involving the Queen.
What could you do with the Pope and the Queen?
OK, well, let's just, for example, OK, so you've got a feast involving these people.
So you call that feast?
You call that feast. You've got 100 of them sitting around that table. And this man appears and stands on the table.
But they'd
like
say
that.
He's mad. They'd say, look, there's a mad bloke standing on the table.
No, they wouldn't, because, you see, he produces the evidence. You know, there's the feast, right? From nothing to the feast. In one go, everyone has seen, and these
what,
people...
What, like, so empty these, plates and then ting and suddenly they're full?
Exactly.
Everyone on television would think it was a camera trick.
Not if these people are there.
What, the Queen and the Pope?
Yeah.
So the Queen and the Pope would have to sit there and say, I'm telling you guys, that really happened.
Well, of course, that's what I've just said. If all of the various people in that area had said exactly the
same thing.
Mother
Teresa?
Exactly.
Don't you think people would be going, well, that's a great stunt. They'd just think it was David Copperfield, but, you know, to the power of 10.
No. There's always going to be cynics, of course. But immediately you would have a huge response, and then that's just the start. That's just a kick-off.
Max Clifford. Two down, one to go. Still got to hear from Teddy Taylor. Eurotosh.
A world become one of salads and sun. Only a fool would say that. Only a fool would say that.
Steely Dan and Paul Garner, now less than 15 minutes away, being going to be plagued, going to be prodded into that hotel outside which he is parked at the moment. And just a couple of things to watch out for over Christmas. TV highlights, they're going to show Pick of the Year from parliamentary broadcasts. The thing that was actually best to watch was this week. Was actually yesterday when Parliament broke up just before Christmas. You sit there, you watch the end of the parliamentary session, all the MPs getting up, and after all the kind of to and fro of the debates, they all kind of merge onto the middle of the chamber floor and swap shirts, which is always rather a moving event. And don't forget that over Christmas, if you're in one of Britain's major cities including Glasgow, Liverpool and London, will all be boiled. This is part of a big clean-up operation, so everyone out, please, by Sunday morning. And this is Ash. Jack names the planets. Remember, these guys are about 10.
We were walking in two worlds. In the gardens of sunlight alone. Bad children.
Okay, time for our Salt of the Day number 3. Teddy Taylor. Euro Rebel spoke to our reporter, Martin Peeve. And amongst other things, Martin quizzed him quite closely about youth culture.
So what about computer games and that kind of thing?
Oh, they're terrible things, these, aren't they? Goodness gracious me, we've got some in our household and the kids like them. But I think there's an awful danger that you're going to have a lot of kids growing up who seem to spend all their life stuck in a household.
Absorbing some of the weird culture that tends to be spewing out of it. Chronic the Drug Wasp, for example.
Oh, goodness, yes, but I think you'll find that that's something which most people don't come in contact with.
But it does seem to be something that's growing, and that's the problem. And obviously, if you look at America that you mentioned, you see a role model there, you see urban violence, you see all kinds of things. You have the Lee Harvey Oswald computer game, All the President's Brains. Andy Spazchrist, a character which is perhaps one of the most morally reprehensible characters ever invented by man.
Well, you're quite right. I mean, one of the problems we've got now with the removal of borders, we used to be able to control these things more actively, but now, of course, you've got places like Holland, where everything seems to go, and I'd like to have the power to stop nasty things like that.
Holland, indeed, have produced an extremely feckless computer game, which doesn't even have any point. Derek the Dullard, who just walks into things.
Holland worries me, quite honestly, because all the standards we used to think were important for Britain seem to be going there. I would like to stop these horrible things.
Do you think we suffer from a sort of leakage of fecklessness from Holland in that direction with Derek the Dullard and others?
Oh, there's no doubt at all. I'm afraid you can't stop things like this coming in.
Do you seriously think that we may have imported from Germany such degradation as Dr. Piss and the homeless headbangers slaughter innocent shoppers, or will that stay in Berlin?
Well, it's going to be more difficult to stop it coming from Berlin because of the removal of border controls. And the only way
it's like a sort of rabies. It's like a kind of...
You're quite right. I mean, the only way we can do this is by having national controls, because I think the average family doesn't want this kind of thing.
But how can we do that when the replication is so simple, the communication is so fast, and the homeless headbangers can be wandering around with their wicked weapons, inflicting all kinds of damage in urban areas?
We'll have to have some kind of international control, for example, of television. I think there will be a great revival of straightness. But it won't be the EC, it'll have to be done internationally.
If some reckless youngster who is a fan of Derek the Dullard was in your presence right now, how would you convert them from that into an increased person of straightness?
I'd say, come and join my local football club.
Thanks to our reporter Martin Pease. Here's Gil Scott-Heron.
Back when Eisenhower was the president, golf courses is where most of his time was spent. So I never really listened to what the president said, because in general I believed that the general was politically dead. But he always seemed to know when the muscles were about to be flexed. Because I remember him saying something, mumbling something about a military-industrial complex. Americans no longer fight to keep their shores safe, just to keep the jobs going in the arms-making workplace. And then they pretend to be gripped by some sort of political reflex, but all they're doing is paying dues to the military-industrial complex. The military and the monetary. Military and the monetary. Military and the monetary. The military and the monetary get together whenever they think it's necessary. They turn our brothers and sisters into mercenaries. They are turning the planet to a cemetery. The military and the monetary use the media as intermediaries.
It's from the LP Spirits. Gil Scott-Heron couldn't get to the end of the year without playing that again. Penultimate show, this one. 2-hour show on Boxing Day. Nick Berry and Chuck Berry doing a dance with the Sugar Plum Fairy. Woke up, I thought it was kind of scary. Found out I was sleeping on the Estonian ferry. Had to pour myself another glass of sherry. And by the way, want to check, want to give yourself an alternative to turkey this Christmas. It may be too late, you may have already bought the thing, but dolphin sandwiches. Very slimming. They're at least as slimming as chicken. And you can get them from places like Waitrose now, do dolphin sandwiches. I only know this because Emma Freud gave me a bite of hers. She comes in still, by the way. She's off the air, but she comes in and she does actually stay in the building throughout the lunchtime show. She stands through in the cubicle and stares through the glass at Lynn Parsons without saying a word. And I only noticed the dolphin sandwich because she stares and she glares at Lynn Parsons, and in one moment she just sort of spat the whole thing out of her mouth at the glass. When she went out of the room, I sort of scrabbled round behind the desk and stuff and picked it up and tasted a bit, and it was quite nice. Then later on I said, hey, what was that sandwich you were eating? She said, dolphin. And it just went out. It's all rather sad, but she did say dolphin. And she's a bit thinner. So, Paul is in the loo of the hotel room. Just trying to sort of become familiar and get a friendly feeling about the space he's about to invade. He's there. Hey, Paul.
Hey, Chris.
Good loo.
How are you, mate?
Was it good loo in there?
I feel a lot better for it.
So now you've come back outside it.
I'm outside the walled off now.
And you're about to go back into it?
With pleasure.
Just cross the road and go into the hotel.
I'm going in now. Okay. I'm right outside the door.
As you go in, be going, yeah, 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 in a really loud voice.
Right,
so just keep saying yeah.
I'm going to the revolving doors right now.
Okay.
Really posh bit now.
And a big yeah, right. Big yeah!
Yeah! Yeah!
And now start hopping round the reception in a circle. Hopping.
I'm hopping, yeah.
Big circle.
Yeah. Got it, yeah. Yeah.
Keep going. And if you see a cushion there, pick it up. Are there any cushions?
Yeah, there is one.
Pick it up and carry on hopping round.
Do you want me to hop over to it?
Yep.
This is very embarrassing.
Hop over to the cushion, pick it up.
I've got it.
Put it under your arm and carry on hopping round the room.
Okay, I'm doing it, mate.
Any attention yet?
There's a couple of very rich-looking Americans staring at me.
Hop round, smile as you pass. Wave. And then kneel in front of them. On the cushion.
Okay, the cushion.
Put it down. Kneel in front of them, yeah?
I'm doing it.
Okay, and start going, juba, 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 juba.
Juba, 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 juba.
Are they your friends yet?
Oh, no, security guard.
Right, is there anyone else there who's in charge who isn't at the desk?
There's a man...
What?
There's a man sitting on a chaise lounge.
You can see a guy sitting down.
Do you want me to get up, then?
Yeah, shuffle across on your knees. Going, juba, 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 juba.
Chuba, 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 chuba.
And then leap up and go, hi there!
Hello there!
Go and sit next to him. When you sit down next to him,
yeah.
Say very friendly-like, excuse me, sir, but you're the wrong shape, you'll have to leave.
I don't think I can do that.
I think you can. Just sit down next to him. Excuse me, sir, I think you're the wrong shape. I think you have to leave.
Excuse me, sir. I think you're the wrong shape for this place.
I think you have to leave.
Apparently you have to leave.
Now.
Sorry?
You're the wrong shape, man.
Apparently it's the wrong shape, man.
You are.
You are.
Am I?
Could you please leave now?
Is there any chance you could leave?
I'm waiting for somebody who's in there.
Sorry?
I'm waiting for somebody who's in there.
Can you wait outside?
Is there any chance you could wait outside for him?
Because your shape is offensive.
I think I'd eat less mushrooms if I were you.
He said he'd eat less mushrooms if I was him.
Tell him his face is too wide and his eyes smell. Your face is too wide.
Your face is too wide.
And your eyes smell.
And your eyes smell. No?
And in future, please, tuck your arse in.
In future, please, is there any chance you could tuck your arse in?
What's he doing? Is he blanking you?
Yes.
Is he looking aggressive?
Yeah.
If you can just, like, stride around the reception, do a big circuit of the reception, singing Shape, Glorious Shape, you, sir, have a bad one. And keep singing that and then walk out.
Shape, Glorious Shape, you, sir, have a bad one.
Please tuck in your arse. Looking at you is no fun.
Please tuck in your arse. Looking at you, sir, is no fun.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye. Goodbye. Up. Let me out.
Okay, go.
Let me out.
Yeah, you can go.
Let's go.
Go now.
Let's go.
Okay.
Oh, my God. He nearly threatened me. I know he did.
Really? What do you mean you know he nearly threatened you? What kind of...
He had coins in his hand.
Coins?
Ready to make the impact even more violent.
Like a knuckle duster.
Yeah.
You fancy going back?
No way. That's me done, mate. That's it.
Okay. Get in the car and drive calmly away.
We can't even do that. The car's broken down.
Oh.
Yeah.
Who did that?
It's broken down. We're going to have to get a taxi. You're a little red dress. She's just trying to impress us. And she's got the ball and fever
hanging around. They're just hanging around. It'd be great if it actually needed a getaway car, wouldn't it? Okay, well, that's it. Watch out for the Boxing Day show, 1 till 3 on Boxing Day. That's lunchtime until 3 p.m. and amongst other things, Paul's adventure in a taxi.
Hi, this is Petula Clark, and I love to go down on young girls here on Radio 1.
Thanks to Paul, thanks to Peter, thanks to Rebecca and Ollie tonight. They're just hanging on our special night of three sobs and 200 stars.
Petula, Peter Hamill from Radio 1, congratulations on
this
evening.
Thank you, thank you.
Any comment on the death of Meatloaf today?
I didn't know.
He exploded this afternoon on stage.
I'm sorry, you've just broken the news to me. I didn't know.
Exploded.
Meatloaf?
We got about half an hour ago.
I adored him. And he was one of the... He's a lovely, lovely man. And I was hoping that we were going to do something.
Hello, this is Bruno Brooks.
Cook and Bond
presents the Chris Morris Music Shows.
Visit us online at
www.cookandbond.co.uk
or
chill.cream.org.